we've been talking about story, and this week we're really talking about wrapping that up and how we reach out to others. And Howard really does have a heart for evangelism, and he does some evangelism. You know, we all have our different ways, and not everyone would want to do it the way Howard does. But even so, I'd like to sort of talk to you, and Howard shares one of the things that he does to reach people for Jesus. So do you want to explain?
Yeah, I mean, Paul says, by all ways, many ways of reaching people. But I think, probably like a lot of people, I sometimes feel like I'm in a bit of a bubble and you can't reach out. You know, your family are fed up hearing about it. Your friends are all Christians now because you've dumped all your non-Christian friends. You go to work, but you're there to work. You're not there to be a pain in the backside to people. And that can be a bit of a problem. So, but there are other ways, and one way is to go door knocking. Now, you know, 99% of people say, oh, no. But if you're a person who doesn't mind being rejected, like me, you're happy to knock doors. And the story goes, the statistics show that for every 5 doors you knock, 1 person is receptive to what you have to say. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
20%.
20%, that's good. And I was listening to a guy sometime fairly recently, and he said, if you go door knocking, you've got to have something to give people, because otherwise you stand there like a bit of a lemon, okay? Hello, I'm from the Oasis. That's no good. So if you get hold of this newspaper, which Brian Vaughan's sitting at the back there, and he has access to this newspaper called The Good News, right? And people today get a lot of bad news. The only news that comes over on the news is bad news. Now, I'm Welsh, and I look at Wales Online News most days, and it's straight out of the courts. I don't know why, but anyway, that's just what I feel. See Wales Online, everyone's killing everyone, raping, it's terrible. So,
anyway.
People are interested in good news. Am I going on too long? Sorry about this.
They're waiting for the live stream. Yeah,
okay.
Come on.
Oh, really? Okay. So there's this paper called Good News, and what you can do, if you're that way inclined, I'm just going to fold it up again. You knock on a door and you say, hello, do you want some good news? Not quite like that. But there's a lot of bad news around. Would you like some good news? And some people will say, no, thanks. In fact, 3 out of 5 will say, no, not interested. But 1 out of 5 will say, yeah, that's interesting. I'll take a copy. So you give them a copy of the paper, and there's some good stuff in here. In this particular paper, there's a story about the Yazidi people who were taken captive by ISIS 2 years ago. The women and girls were just taken by ISIS. And one of the Yazidi fathers had a dream where Jesus said to him, go and get your daughters, right? And so he went into the ISIS camp and he said, I want my daughters back. And they didn't shoot him, they didn't behead him, they gave him his daughters back. And loads of other Yazidi men did the same thing after it happened to him. And there's an article in this paper. It's a relevant thing, okay? There's also recipes, there's a crossword, and there's stories. It's all about Jesus' love, really. But it's something to give people. And I thought Rachel was going to say, shut up, or ask me a question.
Okay.
And it's relevant. And I've been going around Vicarage Crescent, and about 50 doors. If you knock on 10 doors, 5 people don't answer, okay? But of the 5, there's 5 that do answer, so you're quaking there. Oh, what are they going to be like? But 1 or 2 of them will take a copy. And what's happened over the last 3 or 4 months, there's a list of about 10 doors up there that show promise. And it's worthwhile knowing which doors to knock on, because you get to know the ones which don't want to know. And that's fair enough. That's their problem, isn't it? But that's about it, Rachel.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks.
About that.
No, don't. Sorry. Let's pray. Let's pray for Howard. God, we just thank you for Howard. We thank you for his courage in doing this, God. And we just pray that, you know, although we laugh about some people uninterested, God, but we thank you for those ones or twos that do want that good news. And God, we just pray for those people right now, just round the corner from us, that they will actually come into contact with not just the good news, but the author of the good news. And we pray that there will be fruit from this ministry in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Howard. Okay. I need to comb my hair now. Are we going? Oh, we are. Okay, so all of a sudden, week four, the final part of our story series. And over the last 3 weeks, we've been thinking about this idea of story. We began week one talking about our story, how we're all born for a purpose. Nobody is an accident. Everyone's story is important. We talked about this church here in Redditch and about its story and the fact the story began before most of us were here. But to see it continue after we've gone, we have the responsibility of carrying the baton well. Week two, we introduced you to Fred, who, if you're on the live stream, you can't see. But Fred is a big cardboard cutout representing all those people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't get mentioned in church very often because there's no one here representing them. But what is it like to live a life without Jesus? What is their story, particularly now when we have so much fear around? What's it like to have that fear and have no Saviour? Josh reminded us we have flawless hope. That means hope that goes beyond, I hope we get nice weather for the weekend, or I hope I don't catch the virus. Our hope is eternal. It says, even though things might be tough right now, I have a Saviour who walks beside me in the challenges, and I have a home in heaven where one day I will live forever and all will be well. And Josh talked about some of the results of separation from God. Fear is one of them, and shame. And as Christians, we don't have to carry those things around with us. But if you have no relationship with Jesus, you don't have that hope. You don't have that freedom. Life can just become about the endless pursuit of happiness. And last week, Asher reminded us so well about God's story. God created man for a relationship of love, not control. God allowed his people freedom and pursued them endlessly despite their wrong choices, ultimately paying the price for their sin in the body of Jesus. The way for relationship with God is now open. It's now possible for every single person to have a relationship with Jesus, everyone to have eternal hope. So a question, how many people out there know this? How many people just think religion and going to church is just for weak people who need a crutch, who leave their brains at the door when they go in? You know, many years ago, my children attended a Church of England primary school, and I remember seeing a verse on the wall of the hall, and it said this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Yet I also remember sitting in that same room in the assembly once while the assembly leader taught the kids that if you're good, you'll go to heaven. And people can be told, well, if you're born in Britain, you'll go to heaven because it's a Christian country. Not so much, but one time. If you've been christened as a baby, then you'll be okay, you'll go to heaven. The Bible doesn't say any of those things. I remember talking to a school governor some years ago when I was governing at a local school, and at the time I was studying, and he asked me what I was studying, and I said, I'm studying theology, at which point he leaned over to me as if he was going to divulge a really big secret, and he said, you do know there isn't a God, don't you? What did he think I was going to say? Oh gosh, I never realised. What a waste of time this course is. I must stop straight away. No. People are told there is no God as if that is a provable fact. Or maybe people are taught all roads lead to Rome. You know, it's great that you have your truth. And if your truth works for you, that's wonderful. But I've got my own truth. And I believe what I want to be true because it's true for me. But you know, back in the day, something was either true or it wasn't true. There were no other options. It's true or it's not true. It can't be true for you but not true for somebody else. That doesn't make logical sense. Nowadays, so much has changed. Jesus said this in John 8:31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in John 14:5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how do we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in the middle of a world that's confused about religion and relationship with God, and it was back then too, Jesus cuts through and says, "It's all about me." But some people are just confused and misinformed about a relationship with Jesus. People are also confused about the church. If you said to them, "What is church?" they'll point you to a building, usually an old one, often with a spire and maybe some bells. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about church being a building. Absolutely nowhere. Church is a group of people. So what is church and what is it actually for? A few weeks ago, I heard a story about a young lady who one Saturday evening was out enjoying herself, and she was taking a few substances, and she suddenly thought, "I need to go to church." Why am I thinking that? So at 1 o'clock in the morning, she messaged a friend who she knew went to church and said, "Can I come to church with you tomorrow?" And the friend said, "Yeah." The next question was this: "I don't have a long dress. What do I wear?" The friend said, "Just wear clothes. Clothes will be good." But it shows, doesn't it? I know that sounds a little bit funny, but people out there are sold misinformation. They're being sold a lie about who God is. They're being sold a lie about what church is. And they're being sold a lie about what truth is. Some more words from Jesus in Matthew 9. And verse 36, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So my first question today, and it also comes off the back of that song we sang before the talk, where is your compassion at? What's your level of compassion? Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion. As followers of Jesus, do we see the crowds and do we have compassion? Do we care about a world that is lost, or are we just hanging on in there till Jesus comes to rescue us because we know we're okay? Do we assume people don't want to know the truth and answer for them? And as Howard has shared, yes, some people don't. That is true. But let's not say no for everybody. Jesus had compassion and he said, "The harvest is plentiful." So let's do a little bit of a compassion scale. Answer honestly, but in the privacy of your own head. "Actually, I know I'm okay and I don't really care too much about anyone else." That's not a great answer, but if that's your answer, it's an honest answer, so well done. Maybe you think, "Well, I do care when I think about it, but that's not very often." You might say, "I care a lot, but I don't really know what to do." You might say, "I care a lot and my life is oriented towards doing something about it." So if you answered number one, "I'm okay and I don't really care too much about anyone else," then I would challenge you today to pray, "God, give me compassion. Break my heart for what breaks yours." You know, it's all very well us being okay and coming to church and singing in the midst of sorrow and difficulty. We're okay because we have Jesus and we know where we're going. But God, break our hearts for those who don't have that. If you answered number two, "I do care when I think about it, but that's just not very often," then I would challenge you to do something to ensure that this idea of people far from God comes across your path more often. Maybe add people's names to a prayer list. Maybe have some post-it notes in your car to remind you. maybe take an interest in a ministry that helps you keep this focus in front of you. It's part of the reason that we had this big cardboard cutout, and people came up and they've written names all over this cutout to represent these are the people who are in my life who are far from God. And it's different for each one of you, but take that away today and say, God, give me something, some idea that is going to help me to remember these people and to do something about it. Maybe your answer was number three, I care a lot, but I don't really know what to do. In which case, listen on, because we're going to talk about that right now. And if you answered number four, I care a lot and my life is oriented towards doing something about it, then please come and do the rest of the talk. So we care about people who are far from God. We have compassion for their situations. Their stories affect us emotionally. To some extent, maybe God has already broken our hearts and made us soft-hearted towards them. But we don't really know what to do with what we feel inside. So what do we do? You know, in order to come into a relationship with Jesus, people need two things mainly. First of all, they need a revelation from the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, Jesus says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. In order to find truth, people need the Holy Spirit. And we can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that work. But we're not off the hook because God's called us into partnership with his Spirit to see his kingdom come about. So what we need to do is pray that God will reveal himself to a person through the Holy Spirit. God wants us to do that. He wants that partnership. You know, prayer is important. Yes, God knows what's going to happen, but he invites us into that joint thing, that partnership, and says, come with me, pray. Pray workers into the harvest field. Pray souls into the kingdom. You know, prayer is so important in this, because it is by prayer that people receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit that will then guide them towards the truth. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Did you know that? Not sure. The prayer of a righteous person, which if you know Jesus is you, it doesn't say the prayer of a perfect person. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So if you pray, it will be effective for what God wants it to do. Prayer is key to people coming to find out about Jesus. Pray for the Lord of the harvest, which is God, to send workers into the harvest field that is ready to be harvested. But then also be prepared to be one of those workers. Because workers are also needed. It's not just about prayer. Romans 10 verse 14 to 15 in the New Living Translation says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. In order to come to faith in Jesus, people need to hear the message. People need to hear God's story, how it has impacted your story, and how it can impact their story too. You know, in all my years of being a Christian and all the years of working in church, I've only ever come across one single person who became a Christian because they decided just to read the Bible. I'm sure there are others in the world, but pretty much every other Christian I have ever met has come to know Jesus because someone else told them, and that witness combined with that revelation of who Jesus is through the Holy Spirit is what brought them to faith. Part of this is about what we're doing as a church. Part of our strategy is the idea of a stream, streams that bring things together. We have compassion for people. We know they need to hear the gospel. In order for them to do it, they need some kind of connection. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But you know, if you're going to put salt on your dinner later on today, you do that, don't you? Or you do that, depending on what you're using. You spread it And if we're the salt of the earth, then we have to be spread out. The problem is that often Christians spend most of their time gathered together, meeting up with each other, which is great. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, most of your friends are probably now all Christians. And that's good. But if we're not careful, we end up with a plate with all the salt just tipped in a pile on the side and not impacting the dinner, so to speak. And if we're going to share the God story with the world, then we need to make connections with that world. And, you know, I may have already said this, I've forgotten what I've said today, but, you know, this fact that there are probably more churches live streaming their sermons today than ever before because of the virus. But what an amazing opportunity that is. You know, I'd like 3 volunteers right now, which is something I don't think I've ever done before. But I'm going to volunteer Callum O'Rourke and Josh Johnson and Alistair Dewson. But because of the live stream, you need to kind of all come and stand by me on the stage. Sorry, guys. So what I want us to imagine, right, is that... who I'm going to pick? Let's pick Al, because he loved me anyway. We're going to imagine Al is someone who is far from God. Okay? Sorry. And we're going to imagine that... this is a tricky one. Josh is going to represent God's story. All right? There's no comment on you, Callum. So we've been thinking about story. So here is Callum, who is a Christian, who has a story of what God has done in his life. Okay? Here we have Al, who is living his life without God. Callum has Josh in his life. He has God in his life. He has God's story in his life. So as Callum might want to reach out to Al, we will let you put your hand on his shoulder because that's not shaking hands. I think we're okay. As Callum reaches out to Al, not only does he bring his own story to Al, but because he's also connected to Josh, he also brings God's story into the picture and brings God's story to Al, who is living without God. Does that make sense today? Thank you very much, volunteers. But there has to be that connection point. This is how it all comes together. We need to have relationships with people in order to connect with them. You know, it's funny, isn't it? At the moment, we're all trying really, really hard not to be connected with people. We're not shaking hands. We're not hugging. We're keeping our distance. Why? Because we're trying really hard not to pass something on from one person to another. And we're thinking about that a lot, aren't we, probably? You're thinking thoughts at the moment that you don't normally think, aren't you? You go to the shops and you get your trolley and you think, I wonder who touched this last. I wonder when they wiped this before. You know? You're thinking, oh no, I just touched my face and I haven't got any hands on as well. You're thinking things that you've never thought before about not being in connection with people, literally, physically. And that's a wise thing to do. I'm not knocking that. But I just wonder if we spend as much time thinking about how we connect with people as we are thinking about how we're not connecting, if that makes sense. You know, if you were here on Thursday, we joined in with the Elim Engage Prayer online prayer meeting. And at one point, one of the worship leaders sang out this song and he sang out the words, you know, He said, you know, your love is more contagious than any virus. And I just thought that was interesting. What about if we, instead of thinking about how we're not touching people, spend as much of our brains thinking, how are we trying to pass this contagious love of God to people? What would the impact be? Not talking about being silly about hands and all of that, but actually in normal life, how are we connecting with people who are far from God? And there are lots of different ways of doing it. So where are you in your compassion? Do you care about people? Do you have relationships with people who are not yet Christians? Do you regularly pray for people who are far from God? Do you think regularly about making connections? How do we share our story? You know, we need to build relationships that will stand even if the other person isn't ready to hear about Jesus. People are not our project to try and convert. We need to build relationships and love people because we represent a God who is love, not just because we want to convert them. You know, Jesus said, you know, he loved the world. Even though he knew he'd be rejected by many of those people, he loved all of them. We need to love people and connect with people regardless. Secondly, we don't have to be weird. We can be normal. We have to realize some of the language that we use in church, we use in church. And people don't always understand those words when you get outside the door. You know, also, you don't have to accept the challenge of how to get Jesus into every single conversation you ever have. Don't have to do that. Just be normal. Just be natural. A conversation could begin as easily as telling someone what you did at the weekend and, oh, on Sunday morning I went to church. Or when you're talking about the coronavirus, because that will happen this week, I can promise you. You can say things like, yeah, well, our church have started to live stream. Just little things that you can drop into conversations. Plan ahead. Think, if someone asked you about your faith, about your story, what would you say to them? Have a think about it. Work it out. You don't need all the answers. Someone will ask you something you don't understand and you don't have the answer. But just say, well, look, I don't know that at the moment, but I'm going to go and find out and I'll come back to you. And then you can ask one of the elders and they'll give you a really good answer to some. Reach out to the people you work with. Help people out. We have that opportunity, particularly right now. I'm going to read Luke 3:10-12, but this won't be on the screen, Kate, because this is the Rachel Dewson version. This is what Jesus said. What should we do then? The crowd asked. Jesus answered, anyone who has more toilet roll than they need should share it with the one who has none. And anyone who has overstocked on pasta should do the same. I told you that wasn't on the screen. But it's true, you know, we don't have to behave like everybody else. You know, I was talking to my neighbour over the fence yesterday and she said, isn't it scary? All this, isn't it scary? And I said, actually, I'm not scared. And, you know, I didn't go, I'm not scared because Jesus is my saviour and I'm going to heaven, when I, you know, because I haven't yet quite got to that point in relationship with her. But I'm hoping that over the next few weeks, as this thing develops, I will have more opportunity for her to understand why I'm not scared about it. So be a good witness. If you're at work, be the best worker the company has. Be kind. Work hard. Be the first to apologise when things go wrong. Don't be that person that everyone wants to avoid. Be the person that walks towards the challenge. Be the person who is first to forgive. Be the person who is fervent in prayer. Be the person who radically shines the contagious love of Jesus to others. Be the person who looks for connections with people and is not afraid to share your story. Let's take the story of our lives along with the story of God who lives inside of us. Let's pray and let's connect with those around us. Jesus said again, as I've read this earlier, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful. We are the workers. We have unprecedented opportunity in these days as things change and things develop. And even as one day we get back to normal, we have unprecedented opportunity. And you know what some words of Jesus, I think this is in Matthew, says that the gospel will be preached to all nations and then the end will come. And we have unprecedented opportunity right now to preach in the gospel to all nations. So as I said before, we live in the last days. We don't know how many days. Maybe there are many left. Maybe there are a few. But let's take every opportunity. Amen. Amen. You know, I'd like to stand. We're going to pray. And the live stream will end in a minute, because we'll need to multitask. But if you have watched us on live stream, thank you. And leave us a comment so we know how it went. And have a good rest of the day, you people. Let's stand. We're going to pray. You know, as we look at this cardboard man at the front again, and the names on there representing people that we know that are far from God. You know, let's pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are in control, Father, that you are in control of our world. You're in control of our nation, God. And as we bring our prayers to you today with everything that is going on, God, we pray that we will, as Christians, be good ambassadors for you. We will share your love, the contagious love of God. God, may this be a time indeed where revival begins as people reach out to you in prayer. God, we pray that many of the people whose names we wrote down just a few short weeks ago, God, will come to know you as Lord and Saviour. Father, we pray that we will connect with people. We will find new and inventive, imaginative ways in these days to connect with people and share your good news with them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.